Hello and welcome to the first episode of F1. That's EFF and a number one because I don't want to get copyrighted or sued for the tenner in my bank account. While this is the first episode, that means that this is the first season, F1, revving it up. This may be a thing that I'm addicted to and want to do week after week, episode after episode, or this might be a thing which there is one or two episodes of, which are 3 months apart, and in a year I'll find my microphone and go, oh yeah, the podcast. So yeah. And what better way to start off than with a guest? So this is my dad, Richard Hayes, or as me and my mum like to call him, the pain in the arse. So, whatever floats your boat. So please welcome him, say hi, make yourself at home, and let's talk about Formula One. So hi, Dad.
Hello.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about this year's lineup. Going in the order, Mercedes, McLaren, the red tractors, I mean Ferrari, Williams, Alpine, Aston Martin, Alfa Romeo, Red Bull, AlphaTauri, and finally, Haas. For those of you who do not know, the lineup this season going in the same order as the cars are Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, Lando Norris, Daniel Ricciardo, Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, George Russell, Nicholas Latifi, Esteban Ocon, Fernando Alonso, who is currently making his Formula One debut for the second time, Lance Stroll, Sebastian Vettel, Kimi Raikkonen, Antonio Giovinazzi, Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, Pierre Gasly, and Yuki Tsunoda, Mick Schumacher, and finally, Nikita Mazepin.
Marzipan.
We also have Daniel Kvyat, as well as the Alpine reserve driver, Roman Grosjean, going to IndyCar, and Kevin Magnussen in IMSA Racing, which is from last season's Formula One lineup. We'll also be discussing Nico Hülkenberg and his struggles with F1 and attaining a podium. I might add a little headphone warning so you know and all that jazz. So let's get started. So first we're going to talk about Drive to Survive.
That's tomorrow night, can't wait.
I know. So what's your opinion on Drive to Survive? Because Max Verstappen says it's fake.
Well, Max will say that because it obviously gets headlines.
Yeah, and they always get like booklets and...
There's going to be certain parts what is going to have to be scripted because then it's a TV show. But I think it's a show what you get is more close to the drivers. And I feel like it's made Formula One more watchable because you're more relatable to drivers. You're more relatable to the team principals. You're more relatable to the teams. And I think it's having that connection with whatever team it is. Like, I like Haas because of how they have been portrayed in the previous seasons, even though they're a Russian team.
Exactly.
Russian flag.
Yeah, it does get you closer to the action than a few cars going around the track is what quite a few people portray it as. Going back to the Russian flag thing, Russia have been banned from sport this season across many, many forms
all
of sport. All sports, primarily.
State-sponsored doping.
Due to doping reasons, but I think Haas have found a loophole or attempted to by using a main Russian sponsor, which has decorated out their car, which is basically paying for what the Russians have. So the FIA are currently investigating that. I don't know if they'll go through it. Probably not.
Punished.
No. The worst they'll get is like a 10-second time penalty,
they won't
I
get
think.
A time penalty, it'll be fine. If they get anything, it'll be
probably
fine. They won't change it now, it's too late. They've released it everywhere.
They've released it and they've...
But not only that, you've also got to realise the person putting the money into Haas this year is Russian. So they've got to do what he says because they won't be out green if it weren't for him.
Yeah. The other day we were also talking about whether we thought Ferrari was going to be red or yellow. This was before the Ferrari car for 2021 had been launched and before the rave about the green symbol on it.
I always said Ferrari needed a yellow one. Because I think it'd be nice. However, I saw today somebody did a mock-up of a black Ferrari F1 car. It looked amazing. It looked so much better than the red with the green spray-painted graffiti bit up top, because that's awful, that part of the car. The rest of the car's nice, but I think they're going to go even darker next year, more scarlet rather than red. And I think they're slowly blending into that.
Yeah.
But I do think a black Ferrari F1 car would look awesome.
I think it would change it up a bit. It'd be amazing. This is also the first 23 race calendar. So how do you feel about that?
Even better. Have you seen new track for Jeddah?
Yeah.
That looks awesome. I think that's going to be a really fast street circuit. I think it's going to be up there with Monaco.
Yeah, probably. So they're adding quite a few more tracks this season and circuits, so that's different for us. How do you feel about them moving Australia forward? Because Daniel obviously not happy.
I think the fact that we're still getting the calendar is really good.
Unlike last season.
Yeah, but it's like, there's still curve restrictions. I think we're still going to see curve restrictions for first half a dozen races. I think it's not going to be till May, June, possibly even July before we start seeing crowds back. We're personally hoping for British Grand Prix to have crowds back.
As we are visiting that.
But the fact that they've moved it around to make sure they get to do it is brilliant. And I think it'd be nice to have it at a different time of season. I do think, going forward, I think the opening race and the final races should be rotated between different countries, because that way you get different climax. And obviously, now season's like, all right, Australia starts, Abu Dhabi's last, or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like, for years it used to be Japan but last race. Yeah. Obviously, I remember Damon Hill winning it there. I think each year a different country should have the final race, because then it could really build up into a really tense, oh, right, the finals this year, for instance, it could be Imola. Yeah. Can you imagine the final race at Imola this year?
It'd be great if they didn't tell you what it was. So
it's like having a cup final in football.
Yeah.
Having it in a different location kind of makes it more interesting. I think that little bit of tweaking it race calendar would be a good thing for all cars concerned. I know this is all about cost as well, because they're trying to keep European countries together and the Middle East countries together to stop it. But I do think some leeway would be nice.
Do you think it's an advantage for the newcomers this season, like Mick Schumacher and Yuki Tsunoda, as Mick Schumacher is making his debut for the 2021 season? So I'm looking forward to that. We feel like they're getting a privilege, because normally testing would be like in Australia and they'd have more time, although
Spain.
Anyway, and the Australian circuit is quite challenging. That usually shows the potential at first race, but Abu Dhabi not so much.
I don't think, to be honest, because there's not been much, I think there's a lot of cars, I made tweaks to the cars this season compared to last. I can't see much happening, especially with Haas team. I think they're going to really struggle this season. I think Alfa Romeo isn't as strong as they're hoping they were going to be. I think Aston Martin isn't as good as last season's racing point compared to in comparison. I think AlphaTauri are going to be dark horses.
Mm.
Basically, from what I saw in testing, their car looked nice, and I think the driving lineup's really interesting.
Yeah.
I like Pierre Gasly and the newcomer,
UK Tsunoda.
I think it's going to really turn a few heads. But I do think Red Bull are really going to give the sandbaggers that are Mercedes an unfamiliar, because I think Mercedes done what they've done every year and made testing look like they've got a piece of crap car when they haven't.
Yeah.
I think they've oversold it, and I think people are getting sick and tired of sandbagging and testing. It's like, well, just turn up, show us what you're capable of, and stop trying to create headlines, which they've done. They've created headlines.
Yeah.
But we all know, first race of the season, Mercedes are going to be top four.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to crash out or whatever. But
yeah,
you know full well, they're going to be there or thereabouts every race this season. Unfortunately, it's down to Rest at Field to catch up. And I think it's going to be between them and Red Bull this season. I don't think Ferrari's going to be anywhere near it. I think McLaren could be team to be. I think Lando Norris and Danny Ricciardo are going to be a really good lineup.
Definitely.
And I hope we actually get to see McLaren win this season. I'm a McLaren fan, and I want to see them win a race. I want to see the end of Mercedes' dominance. That's nothing to take away from two really good drivers, but seeing Mercedes win year in, year out, it gets boring. And that's one thing with Formula One being for the past 10, 15 years, is it's a boring sport if you only look at the front runners. We want to see different winners, different drivers winning week in, week out. So it's like, varies it up. We want to see different teams win it championship. We want it to be exciting. It's like anything. You don't want to see one team dominate. It gets boring. It gets repetitive.
Yeah. going back to your point about AlphaTauri, they did, Pierre and Yuki did manage the car really well, despite the numerous sandstorms. And I feel like that just challenges the car a little bit, even with like the force of the gales and
wind. To totally get me wrong, watching testing with sandstorms made it quite interesting. And to be honest, it were really good testing. You got to see a lot of good car, obviously a lot of driving. But it's what I liked about testing is listening to Martin Blundell, the rest of commentators, and what is how the season's going to transpire and what they've been working on pre-season. And I think it's not so much of watching what they're doing on the track, it's listening to what's going off behind the scenes. And that's why getting back to Drive to Survive is good, because it's learning stuff behind the scenes, what builds a better picture, but you get a better understanding of what's going off behind the scenes, who's having money problems, who's having power struggles, which teams are all pulling it same direction, which teams aren't pulling the same direction. And Drive to Survive to Monaco can't come soon enough, because it's one of those they're going to be all watched before the start of this season, which is next week.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to next season.
No, 8 days.
8 days.
8 days till testing.
Eight days.
8 days.
Yeah, but with testing, you can't rely on anything, because they can do ERS management where they try to keep up the power source, tyre management where they try to check
the tyres.
There's
no way. But you could see when Hamilton and Bottas were doing their laps, they weren't going into top gear.
No.
So if you're not going to top gear, it means you've got
the... You can't see the potential of the car necessarily.
No, because they were limiting what that car could do.
Exactly.
And Hamilton spinning out, it's like you could just couldn't get to grips with hard compound tyres, which I hope wasn't a red herring. And I do hope, for entertainment value, that the car this season will struggle at hard compound, because it's going to make for some very exciting races. When they're on hard compound, Max is going to be right up there. And I think Perez, he's got a decent car, could really turn a few heads this season. And I think he could pull out a few victories, which might surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I think a lot of drivers do benefit off of certain tyres. Like soft tyres are really easy to go by.
It's your driving style. End of day, it depends how aggressive you are in your driving style, depending which you favour. Some drivers are better at tyre management. You only have to look back to the British Grand Prix a few seasons ago, when the Mercedes, their cars were constantly blistering on their tyres, whereas Verstappen managed to manage his tyres a lot better, and he got the race victory because he knew how much he could push them tyres better than the Mercedes team. And both Bottas and Hamilton struggled throughout that day because of heat, and they obviously their tyres blistering, so they had to race were all about trying not to have a blown tyre.
Yeah, and obviously having the middle teams, like the middle fielders being McLaren, I think Williams are scraping up there. It's just very eventful to watch them compete for that top spot in the middle sector, because I know previously in motorsport they'd only focus on the top drivers and what them possible teams could do, and I really enjoy seeing the bottom players, the middle fielders of the teams just battling out for that top spot. And as you said, obviously the Red Bull spot, they were planning on giving it to Sebastian Vettel, but obviously for complications they've signed Sergio Perez, and Sebastian Vettel has signed a 3-season contract with Aston Martin, so that's very interesting. We obviously don't know how Sergio Perez is going to do with the Red Bull, even though he is a very talented driver.
He's only got 1-year contract.
Yeah, exactly. So that could go anywhere. It's like Pierre Gasly or Alex Albon. It could go downhill, it could go uphill.
Yeah, the thing is with Red Bull, it's Max's car. They want to win championship with Max.
They basically want Max's twin to race on the second seat.
It's been the car set up for Max, so whoever comes into that second car has to work round Max,
not themselves.
And unfortunately, both Albon and Gasly are both very talented drivers, but they couldn't handle the pressure what Horner and the Red Bull team put on. As soon as Gasly went back to AlphaTauri, he's back to his old self, and he's a damn good driver.
Yes.
And we saw him Drive to Survive. I didn't agree with how Red Bull just spat him out. But at the same time, I don't think he could end up pressure. So it's like... Formula One teams need to handle the younger drivers better, because they're getting younger than they were. It's like back when 90s or before, you used to be in your mid-20s, even older, before you started into Formula One. These days, you're still you can be a teenager and driving Formula One cars.
Max out when you're 17.
Exactly. So if you're going to bring these young lads in, yes, they might have the talent, but have they got the mentality? So, and you, it's all about mental health now,
yeah,
as well. So it should be a part of the team to make sure they're mentally strong enough to handle the pressures there. But for another, you go to Red Bull, straight away it spotlights on you. Whereas at AlphaTauri, because they're only a mid-card team, the pressure's not as much, because they're not expected to win each year. They're not expected to podium. So when they do get podium and they do get the wins, it's a bonus. Whereas Red Bull, you're expected to be wins like Alex Albon. The results he was putting in last season were brilliant for AlphaTauri, but you can't be finishing 8th, 7th, 6th, etc. For Red Bull, you need to be podium week in, week out, or there or thereabouts. And it's having that second driver to score the points so Red Bull could be winning championship, because it's all about winning that championship for Mercedes.
Yeah, I think currently in this day and age, Formula One's as much as a mental sport as well as a physical.
It always has been.
You just got to have the right mentality, as you said. Like Red Bull, Max, a very talented driver, the youngest F1 champion in history, youngest race winner in history, being just 17 when he did the sport. And he's obviously, I think he's managed to outshone his father, Jos Verstappen, by a really long shot. Yeah.
But like Michael's come in now. Michael Schumacher changed some of it. But he's doing it right. He's done exactly how his dad did. He's coming in at a lower team, so the pressure's not there. He can sink his teeth into Haas, where there's no expectation to do anything this season, because everybody knows Haas is focusing on 2022, just like Ferrari. Right? So he can have a season getting used to grips with car, getting ready for it. Then next season, he can have a good crack at it. And I think coming in, I think that's how you need to cut your teeth in Formula One. Start at a mid or lower pack car and team, and then go to bigger teams.
Yeah.
Because, and you've got to make sure you can handle pressure, so you're not all straight overnight going, oh my God, because these really good, talented drivers are getting chewed out 10 to a dozen.
Yeah. I also think it falls onto the people who own the team and people who run the team, because...
And you've got to remember, it's all about money, though.
Yeah, as we've seen with Haas, they have got Gene Haas, who's a very rich man, but I feel like the sponsors they're getting aren't wrecking anything. Like Rich Energy, how long did they last? Half a season?
Yeah, but Rich Energy's the one in his own.
He is. It's just like a lot of things. It's a domino effect. You take one thing off and the rest of it goes. There's no way to correct that. So, moving on. We're going to talk about... So, the first thing we're going to talk about is Lewis Hamilton. So, we have seen in the past how well Lewis Hamilton drives. Do you think he's going to get another championship this season and overtake Michael Schumacher's incredible record of 7 championships before, obviously, his horrible accident, which everyone felt saddened by? Or do you
think... Maybe we chatted anyway about when that happened.
Yeah,
but I don't...
We didn't want
to... Get to Lewis. Right. One, he only got the money he wanted from that money with this one-year contract, because everyone wants him to win. Mercedes wants him to win this 8th championship. It's all about that. It's good for the team. It sells itself. However, it's like Hamilton's always been in a good car. He was in a good car at the time when he was starting with McLaren. That was a decent McLaren car. Since he's been with Mercedes, he's had a car what's kind of delivered what he needs to do. Could you see Hamilton going to a lesser team in later season? No, I think he will retire.
Yeah.
Does he have the same spark he had for his first and second one? I don't know. With Hamilton, I think because he's outspoken outside of sport, he's a chuck and cheese person. You either like him or you don't.
Yeah.
And there's certain British racing driving fans who are blinded to the fact that he's just because he's British, he's not. And I prefer Max Verstappen as a driver.
Yeah.
It's nothing against Hamilton. I liked Hamilton when he first started. I loved the rookie version of Hamilton. I don't like the person he's evolved into.
Yeah. I feel like when Formula One drivers start, they have a fire in them, and they don't get too big for the boots, they get too small for the boots, because that fire just seems to have gone down as they've improved. Yes, they've improved with the driver, they've got a seat at a bigger team, but now they're kind of settled. Like, Hamilton can cruise 2 seconds faster than everyone. That isn't saying the car's better, which it is a completely amazing car.
But could
it's
Hamilton,
that he can cruise there and he comfortably and he panics when
put
like
Hamilton that. In a, Hamilton in a Ferrari last season, would you have won races?
Not as many as I did.
I don't think anybody would have run a race. Would have done any. It would not. Anybody would have done well in a Ferrari last season, as it showed with Vettel. Vettel is a very, very, very good driver.
Yeah.
But yeah, the car was rubbish.
Yeah.
Again, I think sometimes it's a 50-50 split and we're car and driver. Sometimes it's a 25-75. At moment, I think it's more the car. Last season, it was 60% car, 40% Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I think you could put half of them drivers in on that grid in Mercedes, and I think they would have all been there or thereabouts and winning the same amount of races as Bottas.
I think
Verstappen would have won championship if he was in Mercedes. Vettel would have won championship if he was in a Mercedes.
Easily. Kimi would have.
Alonso would have.
Yeah.
You've only got Kimi Raikkonen. Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of drivers who would have won races, and I think there would have been four or five drivers out of a team, if they'd been put in Hamilton's position, would have won championships. So that's saying he's a good driver. Is he the best driver ever? No. Is he the best driver currently? Possibly. But that's down to personal opinion.
I'd like to see them all drive in the same car. I'd like to see them all drive, like as you pointed out earlier, Ferrari. And see what happens.
But that's what happens in other championships where they've all got the same car and it's down to drivers.
It's drive to drivers. Like George in the Williams, he just looks like a kid who cruises at the back of the thing.
George,
but if you put him in Mercedes, wow, that kid flies over the circuit.
Speaking of George, will he be at Williams next season? I don't think so. I think he'll be at Mercedes in 2022.
If Lewis wins a championship, I think he's going to retire from the sport.
I think Hamilton... I think this could, well, I don't, even if he didn't win it this season, for instance,
yeah, was
Miracle Bottas won it, which is never going to happen.
He wishes.
I think 2021 could be Hamilton's last year.
He was already hinting at leaving 2020 season, so I think he's on his way out anyway. So going over to different things, what's your, as we call him, Marzipan, what's your opinion on him? Because shining a blind eye over the previous events, why people hate him. Now, that's a strong word, but it's very true.
What are you thinking
about his driving skills? Because he struggled to adapt to his Formula 3 car, Formula 2 car in the past.
I don't follow the total Formula 2 or Formula 3.
Yeah.
I'm a Formula 1 guy.
It took him a while to adapt to his
car,
basically.
For me, I haven't seen enough of him to make a judgment. Obviously, we know that car is not very much different from last season. Last season, that car wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Haas haven't delivered for the past few seasons, and it's down to money. They haven't got the money at the moment to challenge. Hence the reason why they want these changes to come into Formula One. I think he's going to play second figure to Schumacher all season.
Yeah.
I think if anybody's going to deliver in Haas this season, it's going to be Schumacher.
I
don't think Haas. I think Haas are going to be bottom. If you ask me what all the teams are going to be, I think Haas are going to be down there. I think Alfa Romeo is going to be down there. And I think Williams, yes, they made great strides, and yes, they've got more update packages coming. But I think they'll be down there again. They're your bottom three teams this season. The mid-table is going to be so competitive. I think Ferrari is going to be in there. McLaren's going to be in there. You're going to have Aston Martin, you're going to have AlphaTauri. They're all going to be picking points at week in, week out, and it's going to be extremely tight midfield this season.
Yeah. As previously said, going on from Haas, all educated F1 fans, not the newest of the new, think Mercedes is sandbagging, they most likely are. But Williams has proven to be quite a fast car, as well as Toto saying, even if he is lying, that Red Bull has appeared faster than him. So could this be Max's season to shine for the umpteenth time?
If Red Bull sorted out the issues from last season's car, which I think that based on testing they have, I think Red Bull are going to be giving Mercedes a very, very tight, and I think it'll come down to points, literally a handful of points.
Yeah, and championship.
Reliability. Shows. It'll come down to reliability and luck.
And because Williams?
Williams, again, I think it's because you've got obviously new owners, I think they are becoming much more of Williams's second team.
Yeah, because
more than Aston Martin. I think Aston Martin, yes, last season they were pink Mercedes.
Mm.
However, I think there's a lot of difference between the Mercedes this is and the Aston Martin. And I think now they've stood on their own and rebranded as Aston Martin. I've not even talked about Alpine. But we'll get back to that. I do think Aston Martin is going to be more and more an independent team and do their own thing rather than being Mercedes' a second team. Where I think... but I think Williams will become a feeder team.
Definitely.
Like AlphaTauri, which I think is going to benefit Williams because it means they might start, obviously, winning stuff.
I want to see what Nicholas Latifi can do because in the past he has shown some talent, but not enough to get points. But then again, is that reliant on the car? Because George has proven himself that he's a very good driver in a Mercedes. Anyone would be a good driver in a Mercedes. In a Mercedes. So what will Nicholas be able to do that? But we won't know because no one's got dibs on Nicholas, to be honest. He's a second driver. He's like Alex. If they want to get in the boot, they can. And that's not being horrible. It's just how it is. And I don't think this is a part that Dad can comment on because he doesn't follow Formula 2, Formula 3, Formula 4 like I do, even though if it's not much. I know the drivers are and I know where the standings are. Yuki has not had a very intricate past in motorsport like Daniel did this, that, before eventually establishing Formula 1. Yuki's jumped from team to team season after season, just going 1-1-1-1. So it'll be amazing what he can do in the new car, especially with his uneducated past in motorsport, even how good of a driver he is, which he has proven in the AlphaTauri with what he can do and how that will end up. So I'm looking forward to that. Moving on to McLaren, who Dad really does like.
Woo!
we do know that Lando Norris is the first driver, showing that Carlos Sainz has been over to Ferrari.
Disagree.
1 minute. So we do know Lando's the first driver, but...
No!
Dad, let me get to the point! We do know Lando's the first driver, but how's he going to do in comparison to Daniel?
There's no way you sign Danny Ricciardo and have him as a second choice driver. I don't care what Lando is.
He was better than Max when he was at Red Bull.
Yeah, but Matt, he also saw writing at Wall when Max got that big contract, hence the reason why he won. However, whereas Norris is a very good driver, don't get me wrong, I think he's highly talented young driver. I do think Ricciardo is the better of the two drivers currently.
Yeah.
And I think the McLaren with Ricciardo and Norris will be the third best team this season.
It's going to be a very strong team, I believe.
I think the back end of their car will turn a few heads, and I can see a few complaints going about that new rear diffuser.
Yeah.
But I do want and hope McLaren starts winning a few races and takes some up for glory from the top two in terms of Red Bull and Mercedes.
Yeah. Well, one thing I also want to comment on, which is going to be a very short comment, to be honest, is the helmets. Because I love seeing the helmets. Lando has a new one. He just drops one out every single time. So
they
become
collector's items,
don't
they?
Yeah, I love the helmets. I love Max's one with the lion. And just all the different helmets, to be honest.
Part two, continued.
Well, no, because it'll just edit it together.
Well, you know about it, don't you?
So, going back to the Mercedes thing.
No, we weren't. We weren't about McLaren.
Well, before that, we weren't.
All right, we're jumping.
We're just jumping. Oh, we're jumping.
Right,
okay.
Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast, where we just jumped from bits to bits.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Oh,
so, do you think Esteban Ocon's ever going to make Mercedes? Because obviously Toto has a lot of belief in him, but I don't see that much potential as a driver, to be honest.
I felt sorry for him when I first watched season one of Drive to Survive. However, he has to deliver this season. And I think Alpine, he's got to deal with Alonso. Alonso's one of those drivers. It's his team. That's why him and Hamilton didn't get on at McLaren, because they were two alpha males and they butted heads. But he, what's his name? Esteban?
Esteban Ocon.
Sorry, Esteban, his best times would be when his back's against the wall. If you notice, when he found out that it was him or Perez were going to keep his seat at Racing Point, he performed so much better than Perez. And unfortunately, he lost his seat because Perez had showed the money. If he gets the same idea where he's under pressure from Alonso, I think we could see some really good performance from him. Again, it depends. Are Renault going to be the fourth best team, or are they going to be the first best team? Oh, sorry, Alpine.
Alpine.
I was thinking it was Alpine, but you know what, friends? They have to emphasise that Alpine.
Alpine. Looks like a toothpaste tube, the car.
It's a nice car.
It's a nice car.
I like the metallic blue.
It's just the Colgate thing. Right, as the final topic in this episode, Carlos Sainz. Did Carlos Sainz in entirety? I feel like Daniel is following Carlos Sainz as Carlos
but
was at Renault.
Daniel, I don't think Daniel will ever be at Ferrari.
That's a fact. I can see him in red, but I don't want him in red.
Leclerc or Sainz?
Yeah, so Carlos was at Renault. He had to move to McLaren as Daniel went to Renault. Now, Carlos is being pushed to Ferrari as Daniel is moving to McLaren, so he's kind of just following him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I don't know how he's going to perform in the new tractor. And I do expect he's going to perform well, but it's obviously...
It's got to be better than last season, because that was one rubbish Ferrari, and everybody knows it was rubbish Ferrari. However, Ferrari's already said the focus on 2022, so... I do think they're going to be fifth, sixth. Again, I think there's going to be there's going to be at least 14 better than them, if not five. I definitely know Mercedes is going to be better than them. I think Red Bull's going to be above them. I think McLaren's going to be above them. I think Alpine's going to be above them. And I also think Aston Martin could be above them.
Yeah, possibly.
And I think AlphaTauri are definitely going to be above them. So they could see themselves really down.
Yeah, I feel like Carlos is being kind of like pushed from team to team, as he does have a lot of potential, but I don't know if teams have enough potential to keep him. It's just like they would have fought for his spot if they didn't think he was as good as Daniel, or Red Bull would have done that, or Renault would have done that.
Yeah, but it's one thing having potential, there's another thing
having money,
delivering races. You don't go to Ferrari to have potential, you go to Ferrari to deliver wins.
Exactly.
So we'll soon find out.
Charles, he's doing
again,
unbelievably good.
Yeah.
That's all we have to talk about in the first episode, and we have gone well over 30 minutes, which I am glad about. So thank you very much, Dad, for joining me on the first episode. So see you later. Adios. Au revoir. Ciao. Arrivederci. Goodbye. See you later. Thank you. Come back for the next episode of F1.